Well, hello. This is Simon Robinson.
This is David Silito.
And you're listening to Having a Nutter.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, apologize. So we're going to be talking today about the case of Wright Turner v. London Borough of Hammersmith and Fulham. Before we go on, Dave, any banter?
Banter. Yeah. Well, we're off to Chorley.
Are we?
Later.
Oh, yeah, we are. That's right.
Aren't we?
Yeah.
Traveling separately, because I'm educating the masses early on in the evening.
Because I smell, apparently.
Yeah.
So
I've never been to Chorley before, but I have seen Phoenix Knights.
Yeah. Well, then that's all you need to know, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it's going to live up to expectations.
I'm sure yeah, it will.
Peter Kay has got a lot to answer for.
I wonder if it would be brilliant if it was in the Phoenix Knights club.
I assume everywhere in Chorley.
It's just
exactly
Phoenix
like
Knight
the Phoenix Knights club.
Yeah, good stuff. And that's one bit of banter. And whilst
you went to Harry Potter.
I went to Harry Potter. Well, Harry Potter World.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe got the restraining order, so I can't go and see him anymore. The kids enjoyed it very much.
Good. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. Were there Dementors there?
Apart from my kids? No.
I went, there were lots of Dementors hanging around. People dressed up as Dementors.
Really?
With masks. They were quite scary.
I don't remember seeing that.
Come up to you and just sort of stare at you.
Are you sure they were paid, or were they just people?
They were.
Who...
Yeah, I think they were paid actors.
The best bit was, I mean, the hall was good, but we went into the bit with the spiders, and they were quite the big spiders. Kept.
Oh, don't remember that. It was possible. I went a few years ago, so possible they didn't have that.
Yes, it was the forest. But anyway, Georgia.
They've got the train now, have they?
Well, the train. Yeah, but it's just there.
Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't move. No. So we went to the Universal.
Doesn't it fly?
No. But it went between the two Universal Studios.
Okay.
But yeah, so we've been on that one.
Oh, that sounds better.
Yeah. This one was, you got on and just looked at it. And then, I mean, a lot of stuff was just looking. So I didn't use my eyes a lot.
Yeah, unfortunate that.
Yeah, well, I've got contact lenses as well, so it tired them out a bit.
Mm.
So I like to keep looking at things to a minimum, as you know. So it's a bit, just a bit disappointed that they didn't have somebody there to look at it for me.
You're driving across to Chorley later.
Yeah.
You're going to look at things there.
Yeah, but I'll be knackered when I get to the hotel, won't I? I'll have to...
I'm angry that you've had to look at things on the road for...
I know. So, okay, so that's the banter over.
Banter over.
Now we're going to look at this case. And Dave, what we seem to have got into the habit of doing is that you talk about the facts and I talk a little bit about what the judge found, and then we kind of say some things about it, and then it ends.
Yeah, that's very much the structure of having a natter. So presumably, it's been a great success so far, although we don't get very much feedback, so we wouldn't really know.
Well, the most feedback we get is, I've heard that.
Yeah. Oh, I listened to that, which, to be honest, we're happy with.
I suppose I listened to it as more positive than I've heard it.
Yeah.
I've heard it's kind of damning with kind of...
Yeah.
I've had the misfortune.
Yeah. Or I listen to it regularly,
Oh, that's pretty good.
Have we
had that?
I listen to them. Yeah, well, I listen to your podcast when it, as in when it comes out.
You're reading a lot into this.
So I think if people said, I listened to one and I didn't listen to any more, then they would just say... You do a podcast, do you?
We did a training session the other day and we got feedback, didn't we, saying, the team really loved it. They think you should do a podcast. We do.
Yeah, that is true.
So
that is true. Yeah, exactly.
There you go, right.
So the claimant in this case, Rachel Wright Turner, there were actually two respondents, the London Borough of Hammersmith and Fulham, and Miss Darrow, who was the claimant's line manager when she started in her role. So her role was Director of Public Service Reform at the London Borough of Hammersmith and Fulham. Now, when she started, I think she was in a bit of a challenging position, because this is a role that had been created following a decision. I mean, we'll all be familiar with disaggregation, so I won't need to explain what that is. But there's been a decision to disaggregate the Tri-Borough Shared Services Arrangement and the Return of Adult Social Care. And the budget in this new department was £3.5 million, which was substantially less than the budget for the same services of £6 million that had been the case before. So the claimant had been diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactive disorder, and she was also diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder in 2017, following her work dealing with the immediate aftermath
of the Grenfell Tower. So she disclosed all that to her employer. So her role, in fact, at she previously worked, for the council in a previous role before she started working as the director of PSR, supporting Grenfell Tower survivors. So on her first day in this new role, her line manager discussed a harrowing YouTube video of the fire and her own experience being evacuated from her home at night by the fire service on the night of the Grenfell Tower. And that upset the claimant. The tribunal said, well, the line manager wasn't trying to upset her, they were trying to show empathy, but it did nonetheless. There were then concerns raised about her performance in May 2018. That's the 2nd of May 2018. Now, she'd been in the role since the 13th of November 2017. The chief executive, who is the second respondent, Ms. Darrow, also accused her of not disclosing her ADHD in the recruitment process. So that's 2nd of May 2018. Later that day, the claimant was invited by colleagues to a local pub. She told them she was struggling with her mental health. She talked about difficulties she was having in her marriage, and she raised concerns about potential repercussions if she took sick leave before she completed her probationary period, which she was still in. So she became upset, and a colleague accompanied her to the toilet. While she was in there, she became incoherent, was hyperventilating, and refused to leave the toilet cubicle. Colleagues were concerned for her welfare, decided to take her to A&E. She was assessed as being depressed, suicidal, and traumatised, but not intoxicated, bearing in mind they've been to the pub. Interim HR director, Mr. Grimley, who was at the pub, later reported that she'd had a lot to drink and wanted to be sectioned. She was signed off work at this point for a month by her GP. That was later extended. Her probationary period was also extended. An investigation into the incident was carried out by the council. The interim HR director, Mr. Grimley, was interviewed. The tribunal found that he'd given mistaken and misleading evidence about the claimant's alcohol consumption that night. She was later dismissed from the council in August of 2018, following this investigation. The letter dismissing her said that she'd not been able to complete her probationary period satisfactorily. Mr. Smith was found to have deliberately misled the tribunal the second respondent was found to have deliberately misled the employment tribunal when she said she told the claimant on the day of the pub visit that her probationary period would be extended. In fact, that decision was taken the next day when it was apparent that the claimant was going to be taking time off for her mental health. And the tribunal also concluded that Mr. Grimley and Ms. Darrow, who subsequently became Smith, had conspired to doctor the dismissal letter, so it appeared to have been signed off before Right Turner launched the grievance process. So that was a bit silly of them. And the evidence to the tribunal that they gave was that they sought to rely on facts which they knew to be untrue. Their evidence to the tribunal found sought to rely on facts which they knew to be untrue. To you, Simon.
Thanks. I'm going to talk about the direct disability discrimination claim. So the judgment states, we have found that the second respondent made the decision to dismiss the claimant on the 31st of July. The claimant was neither warned that she was at risk of dismissal nor given any opportunity to make representations before the decision was taken. I mean, that's a problem right from the off. Nor was she given any opportunity to appeal. And the dismissal letter made no reference to a right of appeal. When the claimant submitted one, it was not dealt with. So, I mean, a shambles from that point there.
Yeah.
The tribunal said, we find that the claimant has established a prima facie case of discrimination, because our findings are that the respondent was concerned on 1st November 2017 about the claimant's apparent fragility in relation to PTSD. She also queried whether the claimant had the resilience because of her PTSD to deal with the council's response to major emergencies. Secondly, the respondent's focus on ADHD and the comments she made to the claimant on 2nd May revealed her lack of knowledge and understanding and her concern about this condition. Number three, the second respondent understood that the claimant's attendance at A&E on 2nd of May and subsequent sick leave related to her disabilities. Number four, the decision to extend the claimant's probation was because of and arose from her disabilities. Five, mindful of the high-pressure nature of the role, the second respondent, Mr. Grimley, questioned whether the pressure would be too great for the claimant if she returned to work. Six, Mr. Grimley also concluded that raising any performance issue with the claimant would be likely to exasperate her mental health. Seven, before deciding to dismiss the claimant, the second respondent instructed Mr. Grimley to review the claimant's file for references, so OH file for references to her disabilities, and noted the risk that the claimant would complain about her dismissal because of their discussion on 2nd of May. Eight, the failure to follow any formal process, including with reference to the probationary policy and sickness absence policy. And nine is the last one, the adverse inferences the tribunal had drawn in relation to the evidence given by the second respondent and Mr. Grimley, the backdating of the probationary extension dismissal letters, and the deliberate omission of any reference to the claimant's sick leave or disabilities in the termination letter. Dave, I found that, not from personal experience, obviously, but from reading cases like this, is that tribunals really don't like it when parties doctor the evidence and lie to them.
No, that's one of their bugbears.
Yeah, they're so unreasonable. They just they expect parties to behave honestly.
Yeah.
So in these circumstances, this bloody woke brigade, eh, Dave? But that's where we are. In these circumstances, the burden shifts to the respondents to establish this decision was in no sense whatsoever because of one or both of the claimant's disabilities. We find that the respondents have not discharged this burden. We find that a hypothetical comparative, not of the claimant's disabilities, would not have been dismissed in the same circumstances. And then damages, Dave, do you want to talk about what she got in her remedy?
Yeah, well, so I'll give the headline figure firstly, which is £4,580,587. Now, just to give a bit of commentary on that, you take your victim as you find them. If you subject somebody with severe I don't know if it's fair to say severe, but certainly they were by the time that she left, when she was signed off by a doctor, having been taken to hospital and being diagnosed as suicidal, somebody with severe mental health issues, and you discriminate against them, then one, their injury to feelings award may be higher than somebody who is going to be able to just brush any negative treatment off more easily. And they are more likely to be adversely affected in terms of their ability to find alternative employment. So there was quite a lot of money for pecuniary losses. There was more mortgage interest compensation, given that the claimant had been unable to pay her mortgage. There was future lost earnings, which included therapy costs. Now, working for a council can come with a decent pension. So there was quite a lot here for loss of pension. In fact, that was £630,000in itself. And then there was injury to feelings. That was at £60,000. So that is one of the exceptional cases where the tribunal decided that the vento bands, the bands on which compensation for injury to feelings are decided, it was appropriate to exceed the higher band of vento. So she was awarded £60,000. So that is really quite exceptional. It was £20,000 for aggravated damages. That's to reflect the respondent being found to have defended the case or acted in a particularly high-handed or malicious or unreasonable way. Psychiatric injury. So in a discrimination claim, there can be a personal injury claim element award, and then exemplary damage, which is to further punish the respondent for its particularly unreasonable conduct. So again, elements of compensation there that are incredibly rare. Injury to feelings not rare in itself, but the level was rare. It was an ACAS uplift. So given everything else, that amounted to £271,480. And then, because the tribunal recognised that the claimant was going to have to pay tax on everything in excess of £30,000 that she'd been awarded, it was appropriate for the tribunal, actually they will do, to gross up for tax so that the claimant receives her actual losses and doesn't get only 60% or whatever of her losses, with HMRC getting
the rest. So grossing up for tax accounted for 1,985,316 pounds. So that is almost half of the total compensation awarded, obviously, given the tax rates involved. So there was a lot of commentary, certainly when I posted about this on LinkedIn, about how this was completely unreasonable or ridiculous that she'd be awarded that amount. But there are reasons for it.
Well, the reference seemed to be that because the victims of the Grenfell tragedy didn't get more, then this figure was somehow disproportionate. But of course, that's comparing apples with oranges, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so, absolutely. Or commenting on the fact that councils are struggling for funds. Well, yeah. I mean, that again is a completely separate issue.
Yeah.
They are employers and will be treated as employers by the employment tribunal in tribunal claims. Now, absolutely hugely exceptional circumstances here in terms of the losses. And this is absolutely one of our highest awards ever in history, isn't it, in the employment tribunal, but it's all there are reasons why it is what it is.
Yeah, and those other issues, by all means, we're not saying, obviously, it wouldn't be our place to do so anyway, that people can't have opinions on them, but they're relevant factors that won't affect the tribunal's thinking.
Yeah, I mean, we're not saying you can't have opinions that we don't agree with, we just prefer you to agree with ours.
I don't think there's more we can say.
We're very reasonable, man.
As long as you agree with everything we say, we're never going to fall out.
Exactly.
Right. We'll be back soon with another podcast. Take that as a promise or a threat, as you see fit. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, we wish you a bon voyage.
Bye.